Okay. Okay, I'm not going to call the list today, but anybody who is not on the list, just please remember just to give me the name so I can get a complete list in the next couple of days. Just in terms of the order of things that we're going to be doing, I'll probably give you more Marmokomos tomorrow. We'll see how far we get today. We haven't finished what I gave you already, so probably tomorrow I'll give you more. But the order of things, again, we began with the question of the role of the factor of Isur Asa Liyado in Yish, which is very, very important, very undefined, but as we discussed, very crucial, and began to discuss the relationship between Aveda and Gezela as far as that factor, whether it's the same as Mekami de Asa Liyade and the Ramban and so on. That was the first year that we did. The second year already we discussed how it is that Yish works and how that relates to Isur Asa Liyado, that we're going to pick up on in a moment. And again, the relationship between Yish of Gezela and Aveda, which I'd like to get finished with today. I hope tomorrow we can get through chunks of the relationship. You know, if you hold Yish Kadi Lo Kani, what about Yish role? Is it completely irrelevant and completely insignificant, or whether it's has some partial impact, or in some areas maybe it really does have impact? What about the combination with Shini Rishus and Shini Hashem? So I hope we could do that tomorrow. And that, of course, is connected also to the role of Yish in Kadshim, and we're going to have to discuss that as well. We have that a little bit here on Samech Avavo Midbeis, Karbono Velo Agazel. So hopefully you've seen that already in the Tosas there. Then again on Samach Zayin and Aleph in the big Tosas, Ula. I'll give you more Marmakomas for that, and Rabbi Natan, Shita, and so on, but we're already a little bit familiar with that. Amar Ula Minay Liyish Shein Akona, and the big long Tosas. That, of course, gets into the Gemara on Gittin, Nun Heyom Aleph and Nun Heyom Beis, the Mishnah there and the Gemara there. And I think I already told you, make sure to see the Rambam in Hilchos Isur Mizbeach Parakei Halacha Zayin, and the connected Rambam in Parak Yud Ches, I think Hilchos Maaser Karbanos, whatever the Halacha is, I think it's Halacha Tes, about Shchutei Chutz, based again on that Gemara, the reading of the Gemara there in Gittin. If you get a chance, I'm not going to speak about it at length, also to look at Rab Chaim in Hilchos Isurei Mizbeach, Parakei Halacha Zayin. Don't get too bogged down, it's a little bit of a complicated piece, but just, for a good Rab Chaim literacy, it's there, it's on the topic, you should be familiar with it. Speaking of Rab Chaim literacy, also on Yish Shina Rishus, again, I'll give you more things to look at, but just in terms of these are just little points to add to the things we already have. In the Shiurim of Shiurei Rab Chaim Alevi, which was put out a couple of years ago, he has a little piece on page and a half on Bava Basra Mem Dalet Amud Beis, on Ram Shita Bat Yish Shinui Rishus, and the ability to switch the order, which is very important. So if you get a chance, you should look at that. Look at that as well. Okay, so let's get back to where we were and try to make some progress. Before I do, actually, a few people asked me about the Ksos that I referred to. I discussed the Ramban's pivotal Shita of Yish Birshuso, Ramban Bava Metzia, and I said that the Nesivos in particular seizes on that line in the Ramban and makes a big klal out of it, and it's like it's the mafteach for the Nesivos's perspective on many of the related issues, as we've seen. We saw the one in Reishon and Tess, and Shin Samech Gimel, and Shin Ayin Aleph, etc. That Ramban is like a linchpin for the Nesivos. And I mentioned that the Ksos seems to disagree and has a much more limited understanding of the Ramban. So the Ksos that I was referring to was on the Marmokomos. I don't know, but about three or four people asked me which Ksos I was talking about. It's the Ksos in Simin Reish Nun Tess, Sif Katan Aleph, where the Ksos, the Nesivos alludes to it actually, but the Ksos specifically raises the question, if the Ramban, Hidei Mashakasa for Ramban, It's in the middle of the piece. Hilkach le'olam en niknas b'yiyu shal b'yeshna b'rishus habayle mashma de'lo mahani yiyu shal b'rishus she'en eshalo b'kasha, and he asks all sorts of questions. He asks from Shor Niskal, where it appears that it's not true that you could have yush even when it's physically birshuscha. That he answers, and he asks some other questions from Te'ena Hanot Aladerech, the Gemara in Bab Metziah Daf Chaf Aleph, and several other cases. Anyways, the response to Alech Kotzer Ashutfin, several examples where it seems like there is yush birshusso. Lachein Nira, the Haramban lo osila fuke rishus bailin. Ela birshuso nami mahani yiyush. Kol hecha de lo osi chatzero v'zachalo. Kumohai de kosov haramos and reish samachas, etc. El de kosvo lo hoshe yado ki yada bailim v'shomer sholahem hu. Hilkoch enu niklus biyush. Hol v'yeshna birshus habailim. Hainu de kibin da shomer enu misyayish. Shoyu tachas yado v'yado ki yad bailim. Im kein yush de bailim lo mahani. Al hecha shemunach bechatzero b'inyan dechatzero lo kanalo mahani yush shapir. So this is a very, very important debate between the Ksos and the Nesivos about how to read the Ramban, where the Ramban really does have such a klal, and the focus of the Ramban is the Baal himself. I mean, the old Baal, the Baal that we know, the obvious Baal, who really is Messiah to the best of his ability. I mean, he doesn't know that the Chafetz is Birshus, so let's say he doesn't feel that way. So basically, from his point of view, it's an objective problem. That's why the Nesivos understands it. The Lamaisa, whether he knows it or not, the Chavetz is Breshuso, Ve'en Yush Breshuso, and that's a klal. And again, that's how he, is able to expand to explain several other interesting phenomena. And the Ksos thinks that's incorrect, that there really is no rule in the Ramban that Ve'en Yush Breshuso. It's just that when you have Shomer Shuyado Kiyado, Al Pidin, he also becomes a part of the Bailim Le'inyan Yush. And he is not Miyash. So there is yush only for part of the bailus, and therefore that's a whole different perspective, and that's undoubtedly why the Ksos doesn't use the Ramban the way the Nesivos does, and there are a number of different points of disagreement between the Ksos and the Nesivos, many of which I think flow from these different perspectives in the Ramban. Okay, the last thing we were discussing was how does yush actually work? Again, there are just so many interesting elements of yush that are undefined. It's a rare topic in that respect. Namely, what exactly yush does, what it accomplishes, is just never spelled out explicitly. As Isuras Aliyados Chisaron is never spelled out explicitly. It's a very, in that sense, a very amorphous kind of a topic. So what we were discussing on Thursday was that, and just to recap for a second, so the most obvious candidate is Hefker. That seems to be Shitas Rashi and Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says it, as we discussed, on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, but two other Ha'aros as well. One, I think, which I mentioned, and that is that on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, the main Tosfos that rejects explicitly Yush being Hefker because of the factor of Yisur Asa Liyado, is not repeated by the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, which I thought to be interesting. That's an important omission. But I don't know if I mentioned the other one, and that is that Tosfos on, because we're just getting to it in the end, Tosfos on Samach Tes Amud Aleph, which we're going to get back to in just a second, where Tosfos asks the question, why isn't Yush sufficient to create a Ptur Maiser? Why isn't Yush Shel Gzela sufficient to create a Ptur Maiser in the case of the Aniyim who take too much Leket, or they think they're taking Leket, but they take too much, and therefore it isn't Leket? So we want to absolve them from Maiser by opposing the doctrine of Rabbi Yochanan, that's by means of the Tznuin, who say that even though it's in a Breshus, so you can do that. That's the Gemara. So Tosfos there asks the question, as we know, well, why not just say that there's a Ptur Maiser because of the Yiyush? Assuming that there's Yiyush, wouldn't there be a Ptur Maiser? And Tosfos gives three answers, which for our purposes, basically two answers. And that's what we saw on Thursday. The first answer being that there's a difference between the Yiyush of Gzela and of Aveda. In the case of Yiyush of Gzela, the Chafetz actually is going to end up Rishus HaGazlan, even if it's Rishus HaRabim, B'Shas Yiyush. It doesn't have to be Birshusa. And Tosfos uses the expression that it's ki'ilu, it's almost like a matana legazlan from the nigzal. It's a direct kinyan. Ma'she'en kein, the yiyush of aveda, which you can only be zocha if it happens to be bershuscha. If it's bershus harabim, then kol hakodem zocha. And therefore, with regard to p'tur ba'iser, it's not going to work for gzela, it's only going to work for aveda. That's the first answer Tosfos gives. That's the more radical of the two answers. Inami, says Tosfos, that that's also a huge chiddush, that even if it's true that the yiush of gzela also can be picked up by a third party, if it's birshus harabim, it doesn't automatically end up birshus hagazlan. Even if that's true, that's the second daya. Nonetheless, there is an iser to pick it up, and there also is a chiyuv tashlumin. The fact that there's an iser, the fact that there's a chiyuv tashlumin, that's a huge chiddush of Tosfos. We suggested that that too may be a function of kinyane gzela, albeit in a more moderate way, because he doesn't have strong enough kinyanim that the chavetz is his, but he has strong enough kinyanim that it imposes limits on other parties. So again, in terms of the hierarchy, the intensity of these kinyanim and vis-a-vis other people, this is an important 2 days in Tosfos here. It's a huge chiddush, I think, in Tosfos. But since that's true, so it turns out that it's not, it's not like a Baal Levi. It's not that kind of a hefker. It's not a hefker which is omed l'kol adam, because there are some constraints, and the constraints eliminate the p'tur ma'aser. They exclude the p'tur ma'aser. That's the second day of Tosfos. So it's interesting to note that Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz only quotes the second answer. Or Inami says Tosfos it's a hefker la'aniyim. It's hefker only laniyim, not hefker laniyim alashirim. That too is not a kind of hefker. So that the second, third answers are quoted by Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, not the first, which again may be significant. Because if the Rabbeinu Peretz really, really believes, as he says, that Yush is hefker, he says that in the context of Gzela and Aveda, so then that whole first answer doesn't really work very well. So I think Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz really means that Yush is Hefker. And supporting that view is the fact that there is generally a Ptur Meiser, if not for technical reasons, as will be explained by the second and third answer of Tosfos and the answer of Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. And the fact that the Gemara compares it with regard to Shechor Eved, as we said, the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamites, that if you say Mafker Avdi Yotzel L'Cheres Vein Tzarech Get Shechor Mirabo, that will apply to Yush as well. So the easiest way to explain those two phenomena is that we're really dealing with Hefker. The problem that remains is, what do you do with Tosfos's very, very powerful question, which is, what about the factor of Yisur HaSel Yada? Why should that matter at all? So that we gave several answers. We said, in Aveda, if you hold like the Ramban, it's not a problem, because it's just a din of Yado ki Yad. Bailim, it's not really that Yisur HaSel Yada prevents Hefker, just that there just is no yiush, especially if you interpret like the Ksos's reading of the Ramban. So the miyayish is not miyayish, or the total miyayish is not, or bailim is not miyayish. So that would take care of the problem as far as Aveda is concerned. As far as Gzela is concerned, it's you might say, well, if we're talking about the mandamar yiush kedikani, so then Yisur HaSel Yada is not ma'akev, so no problem. So for the Ramban, this would be, again, this is, I'm saying this, I don't know if other people say it or not, but to answer, Tosfos L'shitaso have the problem, because for them, Yisur HaSel Yada really is a factor both in Geneva and in Gzela, L'shitasam, the other Tosfos. Okay. But for the Ramban, with the Imei, this is not going to be an issue. That's number one. Number two, if we give a different interpretation for Yisur HaSel Yada, namely, like we were suggesting for the Pnei Yeshua, or in that direction at least, which is that the problem of Yisur HaSel Yada may be the problem of Rabbi Yochanan, Zelafi She'enu Shalom, Zelafi She'enu Bershuso. So then, it's not a problem at all. It's a problem in getting the Hefker off the ground. It's everybody agrees that, you know, in order to be Mafkir, there are certain criteria. We might have to say that in the case of Avud too, according to some Rishonim. As we pointed out, we might be saying that for Rabbi Yochanan. We'll have to see when we get to Rabbi Yochanan whether it's only Inner Prashuta is only generated by a Gazlan, or any Inner Prashuta could be generated in a state of Aveda as well. But either way, if you say that Pshat, then it's not so terrible. Moreover, if you say what we were also saying, which was that maybe the Chalos is a Chalos of Hefker, but the method of getting to this Hefker is different, because it's not through an act, a conscious act of Hefker, it's through the sense of futility and despair. You know, the fact that he thinks this object is, you know, vaylech hisaron kis, that he's lost it. That's the chiddush of Yush, even if you hold that Yush is hefker, but it's a hefker which comes about not as an actual, you know, das makne so much as through the sense of hefset and loss. So here we might say, I think, something else, and that is, even if we were to interpret Isura Asa Liyado, I don't think I said this on Thursday, I'll say it now, even if we were to interpret Isura Asa Liyado in terms of Hashava, right? So what we're saying then is that Isura Asa Liyado creates some sort of Chiyuv Hashava, which is an obstacle for Yush. So normally the way that that's understood is that it's an obstacle for the kinyan of the Gazlan. That's the Gazlan who has a Chiyuv Hashava, he cannot be Kona the Chavetz. And I think that that's true, according to many readings. I think it's certainly true, according to Tosis's understanding. But it is possible to say something in the direction of the Pnei Yoshua, but still maintaining that Isur HaSaliyado is about Hashava. And what I mean by that is that the fact that there is a Chiyuv Hashava on the Chayfetz, that in itself militates against the Yiyush Mitzad Abaylin. In other words, Yiyush is, you know, when there's reason for despair, whether he knows it or not. I mean, you can have the situation of the Yiyush Shalom Midas, where he doesn't even know that he's in despair, but he should be. And you can have the situation of Yiyush Midas, but it's really based on a false premise. The point is that the classical case of Yiyush, which works, let's say in Aveda, and a situation especially where the fellow didn't pick it up beforehand, right? It was Mekamed Asi Liade. So basically, it's a situation where there's no Chiyuv Hashava, there's despair, and there's objectively good reason for despair, and therefore it really is Avud Mimenu. But in the case where the chavetz is first picked up by some other party, and especially in the context of Gzela, where it isn't just Kovas Hagavra v'Hashem Tishivim, but it really is, you know, has to do with the rights of the Nignav and the Nigzal, and the chavetz and so on. So there one might say that Isur HaSaliyado interferes not just with the Koach Kinyan of the Gazlan, but actually with the mechanism of Hakna, in this case, this particular Hefker, the Hefker that results not from a conscious Das Makne, but from a sense of Avud Mimeni, it isn't Avud Mimenu. I said, just like it can be Yiyush Shalom Midas, you know, in one direction, perhaps there could be, you know, a false sense of Yiyush, but one which really is legally undercut by the reality of Chiyuv Hashava. So the Chiyuv Hashava dictates that there is no Maisa Yiyush. If there's no Maisa Yiyush, there's no Hefker. But Lu Yitzuyar that there was, it would be Hefker, which is similar to what we said the other day, just explaining it a little bit more concretely how it works, that, you know, we accomplish what Hefker accomplishes, or even more so, it really is Chavta Shel Hefker, just that, like Dani was saying the other day, but the process that that brings us to it is different, and surely there are some nafkamina based on that, on proper, legal, formal, active das makne versus vayel chisaron kis. Yeah.
According to this third pshat, you don't have to contradict Tosfos' assumption that Hefker doesn't work when it's in a rishus gazlan. According to the second pshat, so then because of kinyanik zeila weakens.
Wait, one second. Say one more time.
So backwards. According to the second pshat, the kinyanik zeila weakened the koach of the nixal to be miyayish, and therefore, if yayish is mitam Hefker, which is sort of what we're trying to do with this teretz, and they should also weaken his koach to be mapped here.
Right.
But according to the third teretz, so they don't interfere necessarily with his koach per se, but rather with you know, they operate on the way that his mind is thinking.
So right, exactly. It's not that he doesn't have the capacity, it's just that it's based on a false premise.
So it's much better for Tosos, because you don't have to contradict Tosos' assumption this way.
Well, you don't have to contradict Tosos' assumption that Isur Asaliyado is about Hashavah. So for that alone, it's better. But I don't think this is true for Tosos, because Tosos thinks that this is wrong. I mean, Tosos on Samach, I'm just saying, you could hold very close to Tosos, but I think you could hold this. I think Tosos is assuming that Isur Asaliyado, which defines clearly, I think, on Samach Lamed Aleph, also is referring to Hashavah, but Tosos is assuming that Chisaron is in the Koneh. And what I'm suggesting is that we could hold even very close to Tosos, I agree with you in that, meaning as opposed to what I was saying, which was maybe Isur Asaliyado is Rabbi Yochanan. Right? So then, that's a whole different, just a whole different meaning of Isur Asaliyado. I was trying to say that Yeshua and other people might hold that way, but in the Rishonim and the Nesivos also, I mean, the ones that speak most explicitly seem to assume that Isur Asaliyado refers to Hashavah. So we'd like to keep within that, within that Mahalach, and still try to find a way to justify Yiyush as Hefker, and yet to explain this limitation. I totally agree with you. So basically, what I'm suggesting now is Tosus is right that Isur Asaliyado means that, but instead of it only being, or primarily being, a chisaron in Kinyan, it ends up being that is undermined, not the koach hakna, but at least the basis of the hakna. And I think that's what you're saying, correct? Yeah. Okay, I totally agree. So I think that's an important additional perspective. Tosis themselves don't hold that way. I think Lishit Tosim, as I said, because I think they really hold that Hashavah is the chisaron, and it is a chisaron in the koneh, not in the makneh, not in the capacity of the makneh, and not in the mechanism of the makneh either. Yeah.
Sounds like we're really giving Metzius a very prominent role here, which sounds a lot.
I don't think it's Metzius. I think it's legal reality. Legal Metzius, but not practical Metzius. The legal Metzius is that the Chepetz is not Avud Mimenu, because there are legal. It's not in a neutral state. It's in a state where there is a legal obligation for it to be returned to the owner. If a Chepetz is sitting in the middle of the street, right, so then legally it is unprotected, and its, you know, future is in is not being, you know, insured, legally insured. But if the chevet is picked up and there's a chiyuv hashava, especially ironically much more so gzela even than aveda, I'm not talking about the prospects of it getting returned, but legally there's an obligation for the chevet to be returned to the owner, so that legally, whether he knows it or not, his interests in this chevetz are, I wouldn't say protected, maybe that's too strong a term, but his legal interest in this chevetz is alive and well.
Ironically, you could say against the receivers that even somebody who loses something in their cellar between the years is actually worse off than the person who got it stolen from, because there's no legal protection.
I don't know, but I mean, in that case, it is legal possession too. He just didn't lose it. But
maybe not say like this. Maybe even if Rishus Bailin, if he was Miyash, he's Bailin Cheshon.
Well, put it this way: if his Kenyan was Zochalo, I think everybody would agree with that. That would. I mean, the Excelsis doesn't argue in that case either. The Excelsis just says, let's say you own something and it's in your possession, but right now it's not protected by Kenyan. But that's the argument between the Excelsis and the Sivas. I think it could go, you know, either way on that point. But all I'm saying is, it is being in the Rishus HaGazlan, which is what one would think would be a reason for, is a reason for the Yiyush. In a way, it's part what triggers the Yiyush. But in an ironic way, if you hold Isur HaSaliyado as a factor, what we're saying is yes, and at the same time, there's a positive development here too. Namely, the Chiyuv HaShavah partly, legally, links the object still to him. Not just because of his titular ownership, but even because of the obligation to get it back to him.
Isn't there a chiyuv hashavah for the motzei aveda also?
Well, I said that I think there is, but one might could be mechalek. But what we're talking about is, we're talking about in a regular case of motzei aveda, which works, is a case where the motzei aveda picks it up after yush. So on the contrary, what I'm trying to explain is, this would work very nicely according to the Bali Tosus view, which is that in yush of aveda too, if you pick it up before the yush, then the Yush is not going to work because of Isur HaSaliyado. for the reason you just said, Hashiv Teshive. If you want it to be mechalik between those two things, I still think that there's a difference between the Heshev Sagzela and Hashiv Teshive. And that's what I was referring to about one being a Chavas Agavra, the other being much more powerful. But in Achanami, according to the Rishonim who are hard and fast, not the Ramban, would say the hard and fast Rishonim would say that in principle, Isuras, based on the language of the Gemara in Bamitziah, that Isuras Eliyado applies even in Mitziah. That would be the explanation. So that wouldn't be a question, it would be a reinforcement. Baruch Tov, a question. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Rabbi Meir was saying some of this right on Thursday with the Nesivus in the Ramban. Rabbi was asking, you know, how does Ramban explain how Hefker, you just work in your Shus.
Right.
Hefker does work in your Shus. So Rabbi said, I think so, it's good because, you know, the Yush of the Baal is militated against by the Yush of the non-Yush of the Shomer. While Hefker,
right,
that's a primary Baal, you could supersede.
Right.
The Nesivus, how can the Nesivus explain it? So Rabbi one said maybe a problem, or two, Rabbi suggested, I thought, that since the Yush has to be consistent with the objective reality, that it's in his Roshos.
Right, I think on Tuesday I said that.
Right.
Yeah, I think that works. Yeah, I think it works together. I'm just, I'm applying it, same idea, I'm just applying it now to the specific problem with that.
So what you're saying is it's sort of Yesh B'Taos.
Right, you know, Yesh B'Taos, but in a legal.
That makes sense in terms of we're developing the answer for the Tosfos, was trying to distinguish between Hefker and Yesh. So we said that Yesh really is a Hefker. So then already, I mean, it's not the question to say that Yesh B'Taos would work if you hold a Yesh to some other process, you know, sort of just the situation of despair, which is not Yesh, but simply that Allah reacts to it and disconnects the Bailos. Then it's not so obvious that Yesh B'Taos would work. I mean, Yesh B'Taos wouldn't work. You know, if Yesh is similar to Hefker / Kinyan.
Try one more time. Not sure where you're going with this.
The question is whether or not Yeyush
B'Taos
is it clear that it shouldn't work?
I don't know if it's Yeyush B'Taos. It's not. Meaning the idea of Yeyush, the mechanism of Yeyush, is the sense that the chayvetz. It could be Yeyush B'Taos. It doesn't matter to me so much if you call it that way. No, it's just not what Yeyush is. Yeyush means, the definition of Yeyush is, Yeyush B'Taos implies that, you know, somehow, you know, if he knew. You know, it's not a question of his knowing or not knowing. It's a question of whether or not the conditions of Yeyush exist. The conditions of Yeyush are avuda mimenu. And what I'm saying is that where there's a chiyuv hashava on the chepetz, it's not avuda mimenu, because legally, there's a responsibility for it to be returned. Much more so than if the chepetz is... So in a sense, there's a certain irony here, because on the one end, I'm talking about gzela, as opposed to a chepetz which is sitting in the, you know, in the middle of the street. So you might think, in practical terms... I said a little bit, Jonathan was asking me, in purely pragmatic terms, would you rather have your chepetz sitting in the middle of Fifth Avenue, or would you rather have it in the hands of the Gazel who took it away from you? You know, that guy with the reputation, you know, who doesn't usually give things back, so even though the Torah says, where would there be more despair? In practical terms. Okay, I take my chances with Fifth Avenue any day. But so in that sense, but the point is that's not what the halakha, that's not what the definition of Yeyush is necessarily. Yeyush means that it's avud. Objectively, it may be more avud in Fifth Avenue than it is when somebody is picked up by a Gaza and he has a chiyav hashava. Right? If you hold the factor of Yisur Asal Yad, that gufa is the issue of Yisur Asal Yad. So then it's not so much, I'm not sure you have to formulate it as Yeyush B'Taos. It's just not Yeyush.
Yeyush is by the Chisaron Kis. It's
right. Is it a Chisaron? So is that just... Is that legally just... Again, I don't want to get into the whole second parak now of Bamitziah, but I think you have to go there. But is that a state of mind only? Or is that, you know, a state of mind that corresponds to a certain legal reality?
Well, it seems that it's a state
so
of
So whether
mind,
you call that... When there's a discrepancy between those two things... Whether you call that Yeyush B'Taos or you just say it's not Yeyush is a fine, subtle line. I'm not committing on that, on what I'm suggesting here, which is a little bit different. I think it could be either or. It's on the verge of that law. Either it's a kind of Yeyush B'Taos, or maybe it's even more than that. Maybe it's that's not al pi din chisaron kis. It has to be more objectively true. Okay. Again, I'm suggesting this for a group of Rishonim. Certainly, it may not be true for other Rishon. That's certainly the case. But just to be accurate, I'm just trying to explain what I mean. Okay. As for the Deus and Tosis, as we discussed, So each one is very important for Kinyane, Gneva, and Gzela. The first one's strong, very strong Kinyane, Gneva, Gzela, obviously. But the first day in Tosfot Samach Tesamet Aleph also teaches us that that Yeush of Gzela and Yeush of Aveda are two different dinim. Right? One which is Potar and Amaiser, and the other which is not Potar and Amaiser. And that's very, very important to get back to what we're going to summarize in just a few minutes. The second day in Tosfos is, because it's already the weaker view, and yet it has this, you know, incredible assumption that there would be an Iser, you know, for a third party to pick up, or you'd have to pay, that I think also reflects, I say, weaker Kinyane Gneva, but Kinyane Gneva nonetheless. As we pointed out also, Tosfos is, in Samach Tesamet Aleph, the Achronim discuss the question, whether that Tosfos is against Tosfos on Samach Vavamet Aleph, and I think some suggest that it is, because Tosfos is assuming through Meiser and Hefker, and I think we were suggesting very possibly not, just like Tosfos on Samach Vavamet Aleph can live with Hefker and Shichur Eved as a common denominator, so too, he may very well be able to live with this for years, even if it isn't Bidin Hefker, and especially, as Baruch Dov correctly noted, especially if we apply the principle, which we're going to just discuss in another minute, of Eino Nishmar. If the reason that Hefker is Pater and Amaisros is not because of technical, formal Hefker per se, but because, as the language in the Mishnah in a number of places in Zeroyim says, it's Ein Davar HaNishmar, it's Ein Davar Nishmar, it's not something that the Bailim are controlling. So that would be true, not only for Hefker, but for things like Hefker. That would be very important as well. And I thought we'd try to bring a raya from that, from the fact that Tosa says that even Rabbi Yochanan would be able to live with Yiyush here, even though Rabbi Yochanan thinks Hefker in the Gemara doesn't work, but he's happy with Yiyush. He would be happy with Yiyush if Yiyush would work. So that doesn't work very well if Yiyush is Hefker. But here again, we can distinguish between the result and the mechanism. In other words, to say that the result of Yiyush is Hefter Shel Hefker, but that the method of Yiyush is still not a Das Makne, but a state of mind and a state of despair, and to say, well, the state of despair, which isn't a formal act of Hakna, even though it does result in the Shem Hefker, that's not something that depends on Rabbi Yochanan. That's if you say that, you know, it's not connected to Hefker at all, then certainly there's no problem. Even if it is a Hefza Shel Hefker, even with a different mechanism that gets you there, I'm suggesting even then we might be able to explain Tosis. But it is a Chiddush. I think that added line of Tosis does not appear, I think, in some of the other parallel Tosis, including Rabbeinu Peretz, as far as I remember. And I think it is a Chiddush that Tosis assumes that this should be a suggestion not only for, actually, it would be very interesting if it doesn't appear, right, for Tosfos Ben Peretz. Anybody have Tosfos Ben Peretz in front of them? I think Tosfos Ben Peretz does not have that line, which would be good, because Tosfos Ben Peretz is the one who says that Yiyush is Hefker and tries to avoid the discrepancies. But even if Tosfos Ben Peretz does have it, I could explain, based on the difference between the Maisa and the Chalos of Hefker, but I think if he really believes this in a purest way, that it really is Hefker, Mitzkila V'Yatzov, then the fact that he doesn't have that line would be particularly good. Okay, so that's an important line. There's one other line in Tosis that I wanted to mention, and that also is very, very connected to what we've been discussing. That is, if we just turn there, Daniel, you want to, you don't mind? You look so, you know, you look like you should be sitting up here.
You never know when they'll take a picture of the
shear after the loss. That's true. Isn't that true? That's why I come every day.
Where are we at?
Just like Samach Tesamet Aleph in Tosis here. Again, we're Tosis, the 2 days of Tosis, just very quickly. It's one of the lines I just wanted to bring up. Yeah, you know what? Just read it from the beginning, but very quickly.
Okay.
ba'oflin below maaser lepishan lekeshif chalpeya turim in a maaser. The kach omer balabayas koshalakto yikye hefker. They shift our kolmi maaser. The hefker pasmi maaser. The tzarek omer the balabayas.
Here's where it gets. Till now, Tosa's just been explaining the background. Pashtus, just what's the Gemara talking about? What does all this help? Okay. The answer is it helps us to get in Pater Mina Maiseros. After all, you don't say Haliteo La Rasha Viyamus here. The guy's an innocent guy. You know, he just makes a mistake. Okay, so what a protector. Now comes the action. It's a very, very important Tosa. Okay, that's why we're spending so much time on it. But Tzarek Lomar? Okay, so that's the first question. That's not the question that bothers us so much, although it is a good question. But if you held Yush and Yush Kadikani, so then the Takan of the Tznuim would not help anybody because it would be too late. Okay, go ahead. Miu?
Miu Zayn Lahakshos in Balabais Misyaj, Lama Tsar Lahakir.
Right. So here's the question in terms of the relationship to the previous Tosas, which I think the Achronim discuss, that is how to read these words. Halo Yish Koshuvu Kehefker Lepotram Namaiser, or you have to read it all together. Halo Yish Koshuv Kehefker Lepotram Namaiser. I mean, even though Yish isn't Hefker, but it has the same din of Hefker, Leinyan Maiser. But we're not suggesting that it is Hefker. Those are two ways to read those lines. That will dictate whether or not this Tosas, even in the Havamina, is dependent upon the Maskana of Tosas and Samak Vavamina. Continue. Oh, so here's the line I mentioned about this is the, that even according to Rabbi Yochanan it would work, and that would be consistent with the view that at least on the Maisa level, we don't view it the same as Hefka. Continue. Now this line also just requires a little bit of analysis. It raises the question which we're going to get back to in a second. So let's say Yush is unique in Gzela and different than Aveda, and it is more directed to the Gazlan. So should we take Tosis' formulation here very, very, you know, precisely and see that the Yiyush itself is like a matana, is a direct kinyan to the Gaza? That's what it sounds like in Tosis. As opposed to saying something which I have the exact same effect but might be formulated differently, and that is, Daniel? The same effect, but just a different formulation. Instead of saying that the Kinyan Yush is like a matana le Gazlan, maybe that's the effect, but that's not the mechanism. What would be the mechanism?
It would be allowing the original Kinyan Gzela.
Exactly, that the original Kinyan Gzela were only impeded, as we've said, by Shinui, right? According to some views. They're only impeded by the Heshev HaSagzela, and once that is gone, so then, of course, he steps into the vacuum. There is no vacuum because he's there. But it's not that Yiyush is a matana. I would never formulate it that way. Yiyush is a matana le Gazlan, but rather, you know, the reality of the Chiyuv HaShava being Paka, right, is one which leaves the Chefetz only in the Rishus of the Gazlan, whether it's Rishus HaRabim now or not. So we'll get back to that in a second. I think even within Yiyush as a Kinyan Gzela, there are these two perspectives, as there were in Shinui. We saw Shinui too, right? That there were those who believed that Shinui was a completion of the original Kinyan Gzela, and there were those who felt that it was an independent Kinyan within Gzela.
But doesn't it sound more active than the way Rebbe is formulating it? Because that way it would just be saying that...
I mean, Matana B'Yalma doesn't sound that way.
I'm saying, right, it would be like, right. Like he's Misalek himself, and therefore that...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree. That's exactly what I said. I said the language of Tulsa sounds like Yiyush is a direct kinyan to the Gazlan. Whereas one could have said the same result by saying not that it's matana le Gazlan, but that the siluk of the obstacle, mimela, puts it in the hands of the god. But I agree, the language of Tosis definitely implies the first rather than the second. Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, read one more line, and then I'll just go back to the two points I want to make quickly. Go ahead. Go to Stama. Okay. So two points quickly. Number one is, of course, we discussed the second day as Chiddush in terms of the Geneva part, but there is a Meiser Chiddush as well. Namely, and the degree to which there is a Meiser Chiddush depends on the degree to which there is a Geneva Chiddush. Namely, Tosis is really saying something quite amazing. You're not allowed to pick up the chefetz, that you'd have to pay for it. And therefore, this doesn't come under the rubric of a Baal Levi. Correct? The point is that the more you view that those limitations in a more peripheral way, let's say, the bigger chiddush it is about maestros. If we say that the reason that you can't pick up the chayfeds is because you really don't have the right, meaning it's really not hefker, namely that the kinyanim of the ganef and gazlan are strong enough that even though they don't win in a vacuum, namely it has to be bershusam, that technically somebody could be zochem cheftza, right? But the nonetheless, the Iser or the Chiyuv Tashlumim does show that they have, moderately strong rights in Kinyanim, and therefore the Iser or the Chiyuv Tashlumim represents some sort of Shiur B'Kinyan, even though they win the struggle. The Zoche, according to the second Antosis, the Zoche picks it up, it's his Cheftza. Right? But he's either violation of an Iser and or Chayuv B'Tashlumim. Right. The question is, what? In the end of the day, but he can win. He can pick it up. Well, why is that really a chisaron of a Baal Levi? Right. So it just needs to be stated. It's just hard to know where how much strength to give to Kinyane Gzela and the inhibition of the third party here. But it's a sliding scale. In other words, the more limited the koach haganav hagazlan and the, it's a kind of a more peripheral iser, or chiyuv tashlumin, chovas hagavra, he shouldn't pick it up because this poor guy, the poor gazlan, he's going to have to pay, but really, from the cheftz's point of view, it's kulo lemisha zoche. So it becomes more and more difficult to explain why that is a chisaron anu ba'alevi. Unless you want to say that a Baal Levi just means no obstacles whatsoever, as peripheral as they be. In other words, conceivably one might have said that what Tosa says is true. Let me say it in a more extreme way so it'll be clearer, maybe. What even if you were to say, there are significant Kinyane Gnevo Gazela here, and therefore there really is a serious Easter, and you're not supposed to pick it up, and you have to pay for it. Ava Bichain, I might have said that if in the end of the day, when you pick it up, you could be Zoche, That still qualifies for a Baal Levi. We have two different issues here. Right? One is, are there any inhibitions or any rights to the Ganav and the Gazlan? The other one is, is this share enough with Hefker? It's not a situation where it's classically, it's not Nishmar. So the Chiddush of Tosis is either that these kinyanim are really, really strong and it isn't just peripheral, and you know, you might win this chayfetz, but you know, the chayfetz, you know, is kind of, you know, miktsas chayfetz hagazlan or chayfetz haganav. You can keep it, you can hold on to it, but the iser that was reflected in not being able to pick it up to begin with or in having to pay for it is a really serious indication of the shame ganav of somebody else's bailus inhering in this object. If you say, the stronger you say that part point in Gnevo Gezela, the easier it is to explain why in Hilchos Maisros that should matter. The alternative is to say that in Hilchos Maisros it doesn't take much to break the anything that's not Uba Levi Imach, anything where there's, you know, it's not free and clear without any even peripheral Chovas HaGavra limitation. Anything less than that is Chayav Maisros. And that's an important horror. Yeah.
Maybe in the traditional sense, it's not so much of such a big jump, really, because Tosfos learns that the reason why the Torah writes is because a lady ani can get to it.
Because?
Because a lady ani.
Okay.
I think Tosfos says it's not that it's hefker, but for the same reason. Those earlier, I think, Paul says also explains because a lady ani can get to it. So we see it's not even, if it was really that it was hefker, that was the word for every man can get to it. So it isn't really about the status of chatzot, per se.
Right.
What's really saying that it's not even a chatzot which is a nacha for Levi'im. It's just that a lady ani, like the gavra lady ani, can get to it. This isn't that maybe highlight the idea that it's not that it is about circumstance in a sense.
Maybe. As he's saying, maybe tells us Lishitaso here. Right. Could be. Right. But I'm saying either way, we are. All I'm pointing out is that one could have. You know, when you say ba Levi imach, which is the Rishami's limud for the Petur Hefker. I think this is an important. There may be two dinim of hefker. Also, again, you know, in Zoroyan context, we've had a chance to discuss that. But even if you say Bal Levi Imach itself, you know, how practical is that? How legal is that? That's one issue here. There's a second question I wanted to break up as well, and that is Tosas here assumes a line earlier that Daniel read. Inami leman amar yishkedi lo kani klal, which is another way of saying very strong. Ben, another way of saying a very strong. Kinyanik or Isur Asaliyado, right? Chiyav Hashava, Isur Asaliyado, correct? V'chalamach Sigba Zachaba, and Mikalmako means a Yush Potem Namaisa. So Tosis here says something very interesting, and that is the man number says Yush Kedi Lo Kani Klal will think that the Yush is effective if a third party picks it up. Right? It doesn't say that anywhere either, as far as I know. I don't think there's any Gemara that ever says that. According to the Man number, Yush Kedi Lo Kani, and a Gazlan steals the Chayfetz. And now the Chayfetz is sitting in Rosh Hasharabim, let's say. And the third party comes and picks it up. That's going to work? Remember, till now, Tosis is talking about the Man number who holds Noah. Yush Kedi Kani. Right? So Tosis is saying, Yush Kedi is Kani. So well, let's treat it like Hefker. And that's where the rest of Tosis comes from. Now Tosis is saying, even if you hold the Yush Kedi Lo Kani, so the Goslin's out of the picture, but a third party picks it up. Let him be Potem and a Meiser. Right? That's not obvious. So I think it depends on the issues that we were discussing before. Yeah?
I was going to say, it works very nicely with those Achronim who say that the problem of Isur HaSaligadi is that the Ganav himself is being like Chot Iniskar.
Yeah, or even if it's not Chote Niskar, but let's just say the way we said Tosis before, which is that the Chiyav Hashava of the Gazlan is something that, I think Tosis here is absolutely Shitaso. What did we say before according to Tosis, which is why Tosis didn't like, implicitly is rejecting the things that we were saying, that you could get out of the problem of Yisur HaSaliyot for Hefker, because Tosis thinks that Yisur HaSaliyot means Hashava, and it means more specifically that the Chiyav Hashava impedes the Gana for Gazlan's ability, right, to capitalize on the Yush. Right? That's Tosis's view. If that's the case, so then what Tosis says here, which he just kind of sticks in, right? No fanfare, no drum roll. He assumes it's a davar pashut, he just throws it in, which is if you have Yush, Gzela, and it doesn't work for the Goslin, but now it's the guy, you know, maybe the Goslin also knows it doesn't work for him, so he threw it into the street. You know, So somebody else comes up and picks it up. So why shouldn't it work? Hey, if you want to say because of lo hakote niskar, like on a, you know, that that's a pshat nisur, so you can say that too, but I don't even know if you need that. The point is, whatever it is about the chiyav hashava that impedes his kinyan, but it's his kinyan, that's the problem, which is what Tosis was working with the whole time. If it's hefka, that shouldn't be. If it's chalos hefka, that shouldn't be. Right? So then, but for another party, why not? But if the pshat in Yush Kedilo Kani Surah Saliyado was either a Rabbi Yochanan kind of a problem, which is, you know, there's a Gazlan, he has Kinyanim, so you just, it's in a Breshuska, you can't do this. Or what I said before, which is that there's no Alpidin, it's not called Yush, be Surah Saliyado because the Chayfetz is legally, I would say protected, but it's, you know, it has some legal options at least. It's not avud mimenu. So if that's true, that affects the ma'isa yish. Both of these affect the ma'isa yish. In one case, the capacity; in another case, the definition. So then, if somebody else comes along and the third party comes along and picks it up. One yish, if it didn't work, it didn't work. It's very possible it wouldn't work at all. So again, it's just thrown. It's a thrown in as a, you know, an agavurcha, you know, en passant. But it's a very important line. Yeah.
According to Tosfos, if the object in which it's a rabbin and then the jasmine comes and picks it up again, it would be possible to suggest, since this is a new kinyan and it's after Yosh, this he would allow to work through Gazan even before it's in line over Yosh could be
the time. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, does his Chovas HaGavra of Hashava when he stole it stick with, only apply as long as it's Betoras, Natilas, Gzela, not...
Especially if it's just, he saw also the idea interferes with his Kinyan and Gzela.
I could see it going either way. I'm saying, does it remain as a Chovas HaGavra because of the Chavitz that he stole, so he has that... You know, what removes the chovas? Maybe every time he relates to that same chepetz, which came into that state because of him, so that triggers the, or it doesn't even trigger again. I'm not saying it triggers anew. It's the chiv hashava doesn't leave him. He still has a chiv hashava just because he left, he threw it away, or he dropped it, or it fell out of his pocket. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a chovas hashava. But lu yitzur, so I think that's the problem. Lu yitzur that would be so, then I think your case would be really interesting, and you might be right. But I think probably what we would say is, you know, he has a Chovas HaGavra, and there's nothing to absolve him of that Chovas HaGavra. It's still preceded the Yish. So even if he doesn't have it in his pocket, he still has a Chovas HaGavra.
You could say maybe that a Chovas HaGavra would just make him chayv on the dummy, but in terms of the chet, that it's...
Right, I'm saying we don't say that about the Yish until it fell out of his pocket. What is it about falling out of his pocket that ends his... is Chovas HaShava. I'm not sure what it would be. If there would be some good argument to say that would be so, then it would be a really interesting case. Then you'd be right. Then what about him being a third party, you know, at some point? But I suspect, I mean, you'd have to prove to me at least, I'd be skeptical why he should lose his Chovas HaShava. Okay. So this is, there's a lot in this Tosis, as you can see. Yeah.
So according to Tosis, the Chiyuv HaShava of the Gazlan interferes with the Yush, but the Chiyuv HaShava.
Again, one more time. The Chiyuv HaShava of the
Gazlan,
right?
Interferes with the
Yeush, correct?
That's Bisar and the other.
Right.
But the Chiyuv HaShava of the third party, which Tosfos Mechadesh, he has, doesn't.
Well, the third party here picked it up after Yeush. So that's not necessarily true. Either way, as I said before, that was my answer to Jonathan's question before. I think there could be a mechilik between the chiyuv hashava of Aveda and Gzela as far as this is concerned. But as it happens, this is not it doesn't apply in this case. This is a case where the yush preceded the third party. Okay, now let's go back and okay. So that's these two tosis and samach bav and samach tes and all the things that they bring up are very 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 important. Having said that, what are the alternatives to saying hefker or saying what we were saying, which is, you know, chafta shel hefker with a different process, what are the alternatives? So the Nesivas, of course, came up with one. Tzvi, Yisai, a chance? Rafi? Famous Nesivas. Really, really famous. What's that? Okay, and therefore, how does Yeush work? Correct, absolutely right. But just to give it some proper halakhic terminology.
Yeush is more or less opening up the door for someone else to be zilbah.
Yeah, what do we call it, though? Is there a term for it in halakhic literature? You're absolutely right, you're describing it perfectly. Instead of Yeush being either a maisa or creating a heftza of hefker, what Yeush does, it opens the door up for somebody else to be zilbah. Okay, but we have a name for that in the world of halakha. We call it, what do we call it? What? No. We call it Hefkeder Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What do you want to call it?
Matir?
No. The siluk would be better than matir, but I mean, you know. But Hefkeder Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's known as Hefkeder Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's what Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you know, explained as Hefker. Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that until the Zechia, until the third party comes in his Zocha, the Chepetz remains in the Rishus of the original Bailin. So it's exactly as you described, Rafi described it, meaning you've opened up the door for someone else's Kinyanim. There's no longer, let's say, an obstacle, no longer an impediment to some other Bailus, but it's not yet a... it's not a hakna, it's a siluk. Right. That's called Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili.
That according to the Nesivas Yeush is like Hefker according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili?
Right.
Not necessarily. You could say that, one could have said that even if the halos is the same, there are different mechanisms, there are different parameters, different concepts.
Maybe. I mean,
the Nesivas Yeush, he says that by Hefker there's no focus whether or not it's, Bishus Sabal, Adel Sidi Shusoka. But he said, but Yeush, the Kol Yama, it is Bishus by them until it's also the Shusoka. It doesn't say necessarily that it...
I mean, the Sivas himself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he says that it's Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but I mean, whether he says it's Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili or it works exactly like Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili without saying the words Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili, doesn't really matter to me much. Meaning, we don't paskin that Hefker itself requires Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but what we're using is that model for... The Nesivas is using that model to explain... I guess the nafkamina would be, does Yeush have to be... If you have some conceptual questions which have practical nafkamina, does it have to depend on the parameters of Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili? I don't mean it in that sense.
Well, let's say, for instance, Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili requires gimel, let's say.
Right, I understand. Right. Do the conditions of Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili have come? Maybe not. Or maybe whatever the debate is, they could be. But the point is, it's the model of Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili. I don't think it matters much, that distinction. That's the Nesivas Reish Samach Gimel. So what does he accomplish with it, Rafi? So several things. Number one, there'll be huge nafkamina, right? I mean, Noah's point is correct. I mean, do we have to be dependent on the Rishonim now and Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili the reason I don't think it's so meaningful is because the point is there's a range of understanding Hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili. This is the model, and whatever that range is, we can now, in theory, apply to Yeush, although I guess the evidence could be maybe stronger or weaker in some of the issues one way or the other. Okay, so several things. Number one, nafkamina, there can be chazara without a new kinyan in the interim, because as you said, you're opening up the door, you know, there's no obstacle somebody else's kinyanim, but there's actually no shinui rishus or shinui bailus at this point in time. Right, so that would be an important issue. Secondly, I guess the best benefit for the Nesivos, the two best benefits, is to explain the factor of Yisuras Aliyado. And, by the way, he doesn't think of this as a pshat in Tosis, necessarily, but might help for Tosis, because he points out that if you really felt this is a pshat in Tosis, Alan, then it might solve the question of Tosis on Samatesa Samad Aleph. Right. Which we'll get to in a second, because the Nesivas says, after all, is the Hefker of Rabbi Yossi
Haglili? Is it Potam and a Meiser in between? Right, that's what Nesiva says. Now, Baruch Dov looks like he's a little excited about this, right? So what's the scoop? Is the Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili, the Nesiva assumes that Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili until the fellow is Zoche, the Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili is not going to be Poter Min HaMeiser because they're still Bailus. Correct? That's what the Siva says. So he says the whole question of Tosis on Samach Tesam and Aleph really doesn't get off the ground if you hold. He thinks that's an advantage. But he's not trying to explain Tosis so much, he's trying to explain Iyush. So he says, listen, we can answer Tosis's very, very important question and that whole discussion that follows with all those Chidushim. He doesn't say all this, I'm adding liberally. All those Chidushim that Tosis was forced into because of this question, we can answer it very easily. Yush is not Hefker, it's Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili is not Potur, Minha, Maestros. Right now, Noah will tell you whether Rabbi Yossi Haglili is Hefker, is Potur, Minha, Maestros, or not. Yush may be modeled after Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili, but maybe just as there could be different perspectives, maybe you could say that Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili is, you know, within one perspective of the range, and Yush is within another, correct? And you might be right. I guess, you know, when I say semantics, I don't mean that the... I would just say, there's a question within Rabbi Yossi, Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili, there's a question within this model as well, and that is, if you have an in-between, a limbo kind of situation, where you're the titular owner, but you've given up your, you know, most basic right of ownership in a way, which is being an obstacle to somebody else's ownership. So what do we emphasize? Now, will we say nothing has changed until it's changed? Status quo remains, and the big chiddush of this model of Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili is, you know, it can change without any legal, maneuvers. Is that the point? Or the other way to look at Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili, which is basically everything is already changed, you know, except for the final, the almost anticlimactic. More obvious, but more legally and conceptually anticlimactic change in ownership. You've really given up everything. And basically, you know, just has to get implemented. You have a koach lachzor, basically. Within Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili, one can raise that question. And that might be very, very important for applying the dinim of Hefker to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, including applying it in the context of maestros, because the more we believe that it's really his bailus until the other fellow takes that other step, you know, we should say chayv maestros. On the other hand, if we say, listen, basically he's given up his rights, just that somebody else has to claim them to for the makah bepatish, but and he has a koach hazara, but without the koach, but in fact, really he's no longer the bailin. So then one could say maybe you should really be potter and a maestros, right? So Noah's just saying, you know. Maybe Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili is one of those extremes, and maybe Yush is the other. 100%. I don't disagree. I just think that, you know, it ends up being semantical, but in fact, if you want to align the evidence of Yush with Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili, they don't work perfectly. We'll just say it's a similar model, but there are different perspectives within that model, and one is this, and one is that, so they end up being different. Okay, so the question of whether or not Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili applies to Maestros is a dual question, let me just say it that way. One is the question of which of these extremes or how you formulate Hefker Rabbi Yossi Haglili, you know, how much has changed already, how much of the status quo ante still persists. But there is another question, and that's why Baruch Dov is raring to go. Go ahead, namely? First of all, what are the facts on this? Are there facts?
It's the opposite of Tosos, the opposite orientation of Tosos.
I mean, what we just said before.
Yeah.
Possibly, but even before we get to that, what just are the facts? Anybody know the facts?
Klein says there's two types of for Meiser.
Okay. Well, where does he say that?
In his comments on Challah.
Very good. Yochas Bikurim. Very good. So Michael's also an Israeli person here.
Only because Rebbe assigned it to us once.
Oh, yeah, correct.
Last year.
When we did the Sugin Kedu, correct. And the Sinas Chemical Talk Amayim Sugin.
Rebbe's is a Ryan person.
Oh, thank you. I aspire to be, I don't know what I am, but I'm definitely interested in being one. an ambition of mine, absolutely. Right, so number one, the two types of hev, which are Baal Levi and the Gzeres HaKasu, absolutely correct. In terms of the facts of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili specifically, anybody remember? Any of the Zeroyim people in the room? 2 days in Yerushalmi. Avigdor, you should know this. 2 days in the Yerushalmi. 2 days in Yerushalmi in the Darim, on the Sugya there, of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And it's not so simple as the Nesiva says. The truth is, one could argue with the Nesiva's in two directions. The Nesiva says an amazing thing. He says, there will be no Ptromeiser for Hefker Rabbi Yossi HaGlili until the other fellow is Zocha, because it's in the full bailus. It's in the, let's say the word full, it's in the bailus of the previous owner. He says, of course, once the kinyan takes place, right, so then the hefker is complete. And once the hefker is complete, then it'll be potter min ha'maaseres. That's not so simple either. Right, why not? Yeah, one might say that the hefker of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, you know, is kereach mikan amikan, because there's never a limbo period in the hefker of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Right? At least practically there isn't. Conceptually, that depends on the range that we spoke of just a second ago, how we really look at it. But in fact, there was always formal ownership of somebody. There was the previous owner until there is the future owner. But once the future, one could view, in a certain way, one could view the hefker of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili as kind of a glorified hakna. Maybe it isn't hefker at all. So im kvar az kvar, in other words, if you want to say that hefker Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and in its interim stage, in its prior stage, is not patur min ha'maaseres, then you might certainly say that it's not patur min ha'maaseres, you know, once it enters into the reshus of the zocha min ha'hefker. But one could say that it is in the interim stage too, and that for one of two reasons: either because of what we just said, which is it really hefker, just it's, you know, lingering on in his reshus, or because, this is what I thought Baruch Tov was going to say, because of the factor of Eino Nishmar. Meaning, if the Mechayev in Hefker is Eino Nishmar and not Hefker, Chalos Hefker per se, good. So this is never in between. But Eino Nishmar Godol Mizeh. Not Godol Min Hefker, I shouldn't say it that way. But it's in its Eino Nishmar sense, it's no different than Hefker. In the sense that anybody could come along and take it. That's what Eino Nishmar means. So if the Mechayiv of Ptur Maisras in Hefker is Eino Nishmar, for Baal Levi, right? Baal Levi works out for this as well. So why do we really care that technically it's owned by someone else? And even if we didn't take the, you know, the issue of the range of Hefker Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So I think that this is an interesting question. There are 2 days in Yerushalmi, and I think it could be explained along, as I say, one of these two lines, either the nature of Ptur Maisras, of Ptur Hefker B'Maiser, or how you really look at Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Do you really look at it as a kind of Hakna? Do you look at it as a pure Hefker already? Hefker waiting to happen with Schutz Chazara, etc.
Within the Bible, you have possibly similar model of Dron Shein Makbidim,
Ptur Hefker B'Maiser. Dron Shein Makbidim Aleihem, correct. Absolutely. And again, that's explained through Eino Nishmar. If you want to see an Eino Nishmar, the Rav wrote about it in one of his articles. Again, the Reb Chaim's discussion of Hilchos Bikurim is important regarding Chala, the relationship between Chala and Maisros in terms of that issue. Torah Zeroyim has a similar discussion in a number of places. And Rav Lichtenstein, the Rav has a piece, I say, in the Kovetz Chidushin Torah where he talks about this. And Rav Lichtenstein has a very, very excellent article, which I think I mentioned in the summer. I just couldn't find it because I wasn't at a library. But I think it's Hadarom 1966 or something. Probably they have it in the library here, where he wrote about Ptur Hefker, Betrumos, Maisros, Chala, Pei. I just haven't seen it in a very long time, so I don't remember the details. But I know he speaks at length about Hefker Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and I think in this direction about, you know, Eino Nishmar. Probably has other horrors on it as well. But that's one of the points in the Sivas, I think, which are interesting. You know, is it true that you solve Tosis's question if you have this view of Yush? Point is, his view is In the intermediate stage, there's no patur. After the transfer, there is a patur, and one could be cholek at either point. After the transfer, maybe there's no patur because the whole idea is a kind of, it ends up being a kind of glorified hakna. Even earlier, maybe there is a patur, and I think that is where you have the 2 days in the Yerushalmi, either because of Eino Nishmar or because of our perspective on what how this really works. Whether you call it Hefker B'Yosei Agluli per se or Yiyush in this way. And again, those are is correct, meaning whatever the Yerushalmi says about Hefker B'Yosei Agluli, if you think it's just a similar model but it actually works differently, so you might conclude differently about Yiyush. But to say Lamaisa, it doesn't matter so much. Technically, it's correct, but it doesn't really make much of a difference if you're analyzing the range. Okay. The other advantage that the Nesivos has is to explain Isuras Eliyado. How do we explain Isuras Eliyado? Again, that was the problem for Tosfos. How can it be Hefker? So we you know, took several stabs at that. But the Nesivos' answer is, well, Isuras Eliyado is a factor because Hefker now, or Yiyush now, rather, is dependent upon the Zoche. Because it only opens up the door to another party. Without the other party, the chevetz doesn't leave the reshus of the bailim. If the other party has an obstacle to be kone, then the yush is never going to be effective. Tosfos would bother, if it's hefker, what do we care? What do we mean an obstacle? There are no obstacles. No obstacles to be kone in a hefker. But there is an obstacle to be kone from the nigzal, even if he is, you know, has let down the barriers through Yiyush. So that's the main advantage of the Nesivos. So Eva Nesivos thinks he solved Tosfos Samach Tesis question. He thinks that he solved Tosfos on Samach Bav Medalev's question. The Surah Asaliyado, if you're talking about Yiyush, which is modeled after Hefker Rabbi Yosi Aglili, is not going to be a problem. Moreover, says the Nesivos, this will explain the different psukim, because in the case of Hefker, it's Hashvias Tishmetenu Natashta, or and Ubahalevi. That's also part of Reb Chaim's question and Torah Zeraim, what the relationship between the two psukim is, Shvias Tishmetenu Natashta and Ubahalevi. Maybe we'll speak a little about Shemitah and whether it's Hefker when we get to the Tznu in Sugya. We'll get back to that. But Shvias Tishmetenu Natashta refers to Hefker Belizchia. That's what Shvias is. Hashvias Tishmetenu Natashta means you just leave it alone. No one's Zocha in it. No one has to be Zocha in it for having the status of Shemitah, which are Perish Shvias are Peturim Mina Maestras. Assuming that it's Midin Hefker. But when it comes to Yeush, the Makar and all of that is Ma'asimla. Ma'asimla, and it's all about being Asa Lidei Zocha. So the Nesivos thinks that these two different Makoros indicate that we're dealing with two different issues. And that's also how he explains, I think Rafi mentioned also, Eved. How do you explain Eved?
That the reason why Yeush also works in the same sefer is because you're being Zocha yourself.
The Eved is Zocha Liyad B'Atzmo. So that's the reason why Mafkir, Avdo, Yetzel Lecheres, Vein Tzarek, Get Shechor is applied to Yeush. Because it's like Hefker Rabbi Yosi Aglili. But in the case of the Gazlin, who has the problem of Isura Asa Liyado, and therefore he can't be Zoche, so you remain in limbo. You remain in limbo, you don't have the effect of Yeush. So that's the Shita of the Nesivos. If we don't go the Nesivos' way, so far we have real Hefker, and we have Hefker Rabbi Yosi Aglili, or something like it, right? With all the questions that we've raised. If we don't go that direction, so then maybe it's better to be mechalek between the Yeush of Gzela and of Aveda, which we're happy to do anyway, because that's certainly the first day of Tosfos in Samach Tesis and Aleph. So if you don't go that route, you could say Yeush of Aveda is Hefker, or Hefker of Yosi Aglili, and Yeush of Gzela is based on Kinyan Gzela, either a direct kinyan to him or based on the original kinyan exela, as we discussed. We'll get that back to that in a minute. Is it possible, even in Aveda, to just bypass Siluk / Hefker Rabbi Yosi Aglili, to bypass Hefker? How else could a Motzi Aveda be Kone after Yiyush? Any suggestions? Yeah.
Be some sort of
Well, is it really das machne, is it? I mean, the guy loses his chayfetz. I mean, he fell out of his pocket, you know, he's upset, he's despondent, but there's not really das machne, is there?
By being misalik, he's just...
He is kind of misalik, but maybe it isn't just midin, it's not hefker Rabbi Yossi Aglili in a way, but maybe it's a kinyan of metzia. But not so much a das machne as maybe the emphasis being on the kone. This is a suggestion I think that some base on the idea of motze itself being a kinyan in Aveda. Now Zing Zela, actually ironically, once you move away from the hefkers and the siluks, so Gzela is a better source for kinyan than Aveda is, because you have kinyane Geneva at least that, you know, that can be the basis for it. When it comes to Aveda, just where do you get this from? So there is a lot of discussion, especially in the sugya in the beginning of Bava Metzia, the Gemara has possibility of Habata Behefker. That, you know, and what's that based on? I mean, Habata is nothing. So some explain that it's a din of Motze. And even if that's not true, Lahalacha, maybe the idea of Motze in other contexts really does work, really is a kind of a kinyan. So that could be also a basis for Kinyan Yush. But then, again, the discrepancy, especially when you move away from Hefker and from Hefker and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, so then the discrepancy between Yush of Gzela and Yush of Aveda, I think, becomes more compelling. And that brings us to summarize that last point. Yeah?
So, again, as you brought up earlier in the last week, the Meiri would reinforce that, the fact that it's, you know, it's a chesed to return the lost item, because technically you should be able to become it yourself.
Right. That would work well with the idea that Metzia Sabeda itself is a kinyan. Being a motze is a kinyan. Very good. Nice. Okay. So I guess I'll have to stop here, but let's finish up tomorrow very quickly. So what are the issues of the relationship between Yush Aveda and Yush Gzela, if they really are the same or different? Well, let me just say one thing. Number one, I think there are two issues that overlap each other. One is the question of Yush Aveda and Yush Gzela. Is Yush Gzela itself, since the Makar is Aveda, is it itself a form of Aveda and just Midin Aveda, as we saw the Nesivas said the most explicitly? That's one question. Reb Chaim says it pretty close. There be Pia Shmua, Reb Chaim said that. In the Chibur, on the Rambam, he says it's very close to it, but he doesn't exactly say it. He really has two deos about the distinction between Shinui Kona and Yush. Either he said, in neither case does he actually say in the Chibur that Yush of Gzela is Aveda. What he says is Yush Gzela is not a Kinyan Gzela. After all, it also works in Aveda. He doesn't actually say that like the Nesiva says, which is that Gezel is Aveda. On the other hand, it's hard to understand what the two deos are if you don't go that far, but I'm just trying to be accurate. Reb Chaim in the Chibur doesn't actually, I'll read it tomorrow, just in a few lines, he doesn't actually say it. Mipia Shmua, the Rav used to say in the name of Reb Chaim that he felt that way, and that in Volozhin that's what he emphasized the most, and that his Raya was from the omission, I think I mentioned this in the past, the omission of Yush in the Gemara in Tmura. Just to remind everybody about Tmura, the Gemara in Tmura, discussed in the first Siman, the Gemara in Tmura and Dav Dalet has a debate between Rava and Abaya. We'll stop here after this point, but Rava and Abaya, whether or not Koma Dom Rachmano Lo Sabid Yabid Mahani or Lo Mahani, an issue close to Michael Sard, right? Whether illegal actions are valid actions, very important issue. And Abaya, who says Koma Dom Rachmano Lo Sabid Yabid Mahani, brought a raya from Gezel. Vare Gezel. And the raya from Gezel is a quotation of the Mishnah in the beginning of the ninth parak of Bava Kamma, which says basically two things in that Mishnah. Shinui Kona and Oren. Also the punchline, the final line. Kol HaGazlanim Misham Min Kishas HaGzel. So those are the two things really stated in the Mishnah. And they're connected as well, obviously. So the Mishnah in the Gemara in Tmura quotes that in the name of Abaya. Abaya says, you see, Gezel Mahani, because of the Mishnah. And then Rava answers whatever Rava answers. It's hard to, we can read it in several ways. So Reb Chaim was very impressed with the fact that the Gemara brought a raya, that Gezel Mahani, from that Mishnah. Reb Chaim assumed, apparently, when he brought that Raya, that what was significant of the Mishnah is what Rashi says about the Mishnah, which is Shinui Kona. The fact that Shinui is Kona is an indication that Gzela is effective. Which means, basically, either that Shinui is Gzela in its own right, or that Shinui is a Kinyan that works off of the original Kinyane Gzela. Let's assume, probably Reb Chaim assumed the second rather than the first. So why couldn't the Gemara equally have brought a Raya that Yush is Kona? Well, you could give that, number one, maybe we paskin Yush could be Lokani, and we paskin that Shinui is Kona. That would be one explanation. Another explanation could be maybe the proof isn't from Shinui Kona at all. It's like we said from the Shittim Kumbetzis or Benu Gershom, it's based on Kol HaGazlonim, which is why I asked Oren a second ago, Kol HaGazlonim Mishal Mekashas Egzela. It's the timing question, not the Kinyan question. Thirdly, even if Yiyush is indeed a Kinyan Gzela, maybe it's like Tosa said on Samach Tes, Matana Liyado, like you correctly noted, which is that the language of, like Daniel correctly noted, the language of Tosa doesn't sound like Yiyush is working off the original Kinyan Gzela, but that the Yiyush in its own right is a Kinyan to the Gazlan, correct? So if one would say any of those things, then the omission of Yiyush from the Sugya and Tmura, either because Rav Paskin that way, or because it's not based on the secondary Kinyan but the timing, or because even if it is a Kinyan, there's a question of whether it's the original Kinyan Exela that we're interested in, or the later phase. Either of those things would explain the omission. But either way, Rav Chaim thought that the real reason is that Yiyush is a Kinyan Aveda, which works in Gzela, because Gzela is also Avud, and Shinui is a Kinyan Gzela. And that's the reason that the Sugya and Tura quotes Dafka. Okay, so we'll pick up with this and just go through a few other issues. The Nesivus is more explicit, so I'll read the language of Reb Chaim tomorrow. And then we'll move on to Yush and Shinui. Yush when it could be low Kani and Shinui.
The reason I was stressing it is because certain things are used in Yeyush and they've been saying that Yeyush and Hefka are really fundamental in that order. That'd be great. Hefka is really a legal mechanism. Yeyush is in it all. It's a legal mechanism. Once you don't think you're going to file it anymore, so I'll go back to that by.
That may be the shot in Hefka Rebels.
Right, so you understand that Hefka Rebels, you can understand that way, that he doesn't have the conflict with Hefka as a legal mechanism.
I'm just saying, I agree with you. I'm just saying that all the options available to explain the discrepancy are available in Rebels.
But
you can also say that one is one and the other is the other.
Yeah, I was thinking, I thought that maybe you could say it was Hefka Rebels.